Bible, there's a precious story, how the Savior left His wondrous home in glory, came to earth and brought salvation's power, sending down a shower of amazing grace,
the Blessed Hope Quartet from Golden State Baptist College in Santa Clara, California. My name is Kyle Ritter, and I'm a master's student from Los Angeles, California.
My name is Nathan Miller, and I'm a junior from Seattle, Washington.
My name is Jake Messer, and I'm a sophomore from Londonderry, New Hampshire.
My name is Zach Langston, and I'm a sophomore from Santa Clara, California. And at the piano, we have Caleb Galvin, a junior from Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, the joy that over me comes stealing, precious love revealing every glorious moment, every moment. Oh, how priceless is this joy eternal. Praise the King supernal for amazing grace,
amazing.
Oh, what
amazing grace.
Eternally with Jesus, a life
I have a Father, the Master of Time. He holds the world in His hands. He looks from heaven, sees where you are, arranging your life in His plan. Preparing you now, unfolding the way to all your tomorrows and whatever you face. He's already in your tomorrow. He's walking one step ahead. Whether it's joy or it's sorrow, He'll do just what He said. He'll never leave you lonely in the land of the great unknown. He's already in your tomorrow. Don't be afraid to keep pressing on.
Often you struggle looking ahead, dreading tomorrow it seems.
Embracing the present, forgetting the past, giving up on your dreams.
You're stranded between your faith and your fear.
Yet no matter the conflict, the future is clear. He's already in your tomorrow. He's walking one step ahead. Whether it's joy or it's sorrow, He'll do just what He said. He'll never leave you lonely in the land of the great unknown. He's already in your tomorrow. Don't be afraid to keep pressing on. He's already in your tomorrow. He's walking one step ahead. Whether it's joy or it's sorrow, He'll do just what He said. He'll never leave you lonely in the land of the great unknown. He's already in your tomorrow. Don't be afraid to keep pressing on. He's already in your tomorrow.
As I said earlier, my name is Zach Langston. I grew up in Santa Clara, California, North Valley Baptist Church, my home church, Pastor Jack Trever. And I grew up my whole life in a Christian home. I was born into the nursery there at North Valley, K-5 through 12th grade in the Christian school. And that Christian home that my parents gave me is something I hope I never take for granted. It's few and far between nowadays in the United States to see good Christian school kids growing up in a Christian home with the same things going on at school that are going on in the church that are going on at home. It's few and far between. Parents, that's a priceless gift that you can give to your kids. Amen. And young people, that's a priceless gift that you can get from your parents. And I hope you never take it for granted. It's something that I hope I never do in my life, is take for granted the home that I've been given. Amen. So growing up, there's lots of things you want to do as a kid. You know, you want to be a policeman. You want to be a fireman. You want to do what your daddy does, what your grandpa did. There's all these things running through your mind, and you're constantly changing what you want to do. But in junior high, I had a real strong pull for the military. And growing up in a Christian home, in a Christian school, there's all these things you're expected to do, all these things you're expected not to do, places you're expected not to go, places you're supposed to go 3 times a week, and that'd be church. And you kind of grow up in this cookie cutter. It's this thing that you're kind of stuck in, and you're spending your whole life trying to get out of it. And I thought the military was my way out. That was my plan. In 8th grade, if you would ask me what I was going to do with my life, I had all the ROTC programs applied for, ready to go to. I was going to go through high school, train in the ROTC program, go to a secular university, graduate with maybe a law degree, training through the ROTC program. I was going to serve an 8-year term in the Marines as an officer. That was my plan. Wasn't God's plan. Wasn't my parents' plan. Wasn't my family's plan, though I had a lot of family in the military, and that's what I wanted to do. Wasn't anybody else's plan for my life but mine. It was a very selfish way of thinking. And in ninth grade, I sat in a Christian school chapel. It's the first chapel of the year. Pastor Treiber always gets up, preaches a great message for us, and normally sings some fun songs, plays some games and things. But we're in the chapel there. It was about the distance, the length of this auditorium here, and it was about just as wide as these two middle sections. And the guys were on this side, girls are on this side. Seventh grade's in the back by the teachers so they can keep them in line. 12th grade's up in the front. As you gain respect in the school, you got to move forward. And so I was in the ninth grade, got to move forward a row. And I was sitting on the end there. And Pastor Treiber got up that day, and he didn't really preach. And I was a little disappointed. I love hearing my pastor preach. But about halfway through, he was giving his testimony about how he wanted to be in the military. As soon as he graduated high school, he wanted to go fight for our country, fight for our freedom in Vietnam. The Vietnam War was happening in that time, and that was his plan. He wanted to be in the military. And he talked about how he ended up giving 1 year of Bible college to his parents, to his pastor, to God. He told everyone, 1 year. I'll just give 1 year back to you all, just for the Christian home you've given me, for all that you've given me, Lord, for all that you've given me, parents, I'll give you 1 year. So he ended up going 1 year to Bible college, and he found out that God had different plans for his life than the military. And so that day I decided that I wasn't going to go in the military. We didn't have an invitation or anything, but as soon as he said, "You're dismissed," I quickly bowed my head and said, "Lord, I won't go in the military." So I made a decision that day not to do that. Ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, I didn't really think about school, didn't need to, living the good high school life, playing lots of sports, going to work, staying busy, trying to keep my grades up. About junior year, I started getting things in the mail from the school, even though I lived two blocks away from the school. And a staff member started talking to me. Lord started working on my heart about Bible college. Senior year, I decided to go to Golden State. It wasn't a huge decision in my life. It was where God placed me. It was where God had me to go. And I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to, you know, fast weeks over this decision about Bible college. It was really just a yes, Lord. That's really all it was. And right before school was supposed to start, my pastor talked to me about maybe trying out for the tour group. And it seems like ever since I made that decision in ninth grade, I've just been in this mode of just saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I haven't made a bunch of huge decisions in my life. But honestly, I think it was because I decided to go 1 year of Bible college. If I wouldn't have given that year back to God, back to my parents, back to my pastor, I honestly don't think I'd be here today. I just finished my freshman year in Bible college, so the summer before my sophomore year, and I know I'm right in the center of God's will, right where He had me. I'm having the time of my life traveling with these guys. A little rough traveling without that AC today. But we're having a great time. We're exactly halfway through our trip today, and I'm loving it because I know I'm right in the center of God's will. And I think the only way I got here, young people, is because I gave 1 year back to God. Now I'm planning on going all 4 years back to Bible college. Marines isn't even a thought in my mind anymore because I know that's not what God has for me. But it's really easy to find where God has for you by giving 1 year to Bible college somewhere. So young people, I'd encourage you to do that.
My trials here on earth we'll see someday, someday. And I will have an ending peace someday, someday.
Someday,
someday, some happy day from sin.
From sin,
my soul set free.
I'll live
with Christ for a
someday.
Someday, someday.
I'll live
with Christ for a someday, someday. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away
in the morning.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Someday I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, don't you weep for me when I'm gone, 'cause I won't have to leave here alone. And when I hear that last trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. I'm gonna rise. cannot fly. Gonna rise with my Lord through the skies. Heaven is near and I can stay here. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. Just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Then I'll say goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. Someday I'll tell this world goodbye.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burdens. The nails that held him set me free.
His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's Son would die, to save a wretch like me? What love divine! He gave his life for mine.
His scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold.
His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's Son would die, to save a wretch like me? What love divine! He gave his life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garment and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear
a robe of righteousness.
His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's Son would die, to save a wretch like me?
Like me.
What love divine!
What love divine!
What love divine!
He gave his life for mine. His life for mine.
All right, are we on here? All right. Thank you folks so very, very much for having us. It's our privilege to be here. And I hope that the music's been a blessing to you. You folks have already been a blessing to us, so that's a good testimony of your church. So I'd like to just thank you, and then also thank you, Pastor, for having us. Pastor Treber sends his welcome and his thanks as well for letting us come. And he knows that, you know what?
Churches around America, most of them aren't thousands of people. That's not what it makes up America's good, solid Christianity. It's churches just like this. Not a ton of people. I mean, you don't have thousands and thousands. It's just good, local, independent, fundamental Baptist churches. And so thank you so very much for having us. Golden State Baptist College is a place where young people can serve the Lord. It's where you're training to serve and you're serving at the same time. So if you are interested, young people, in a good Bible college, I would highly recommend it. Not just because I go there, but because it's right down the line. It's right down the line with God's Word. And it will train you how to serve God. That's why I went there. And we have information in the back if you young people want some info about that, or for your adults if you'd like some information about the college. But also, there's some music back there. If you like what you heard up here tonight, that's what's back there. And I want to tell you folks that good Christian music is leaving our churches. And it's starting not with just the churches, it starts with the families and the individuals. If you don't have good music in your families and in your personal life, then you know what? You're going to quickly fall. The devil will get a foothold in your life. And we need good music. And there's some good music back there. So please take a look. We have some CDs for sale. And you know what? You should take every opportunity you get just to get some good music. I love listening to good music, and I hope you do too. But if you have any questions, feel free to ask any one of us except the piano player. He doesn't know very much. So don't be hard on him, all right? No, he helps us out a lot. Without him, I don't know where we'd be up here singing, you know, each on our different keys and stuff. But my name is Jake Messer, and if you are wondering why, you know, it's strange that I'm here, because I'm a Yankee boy, honestly. I'm a Yankee boy, and somehow I ended up in California going to Bible college. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but God worked it out. My sister went there. I had not set foot west of Minnesota until I went out to go to Golden State. I went there for college. I didn't go visit. I didn't go see what the landscape was like. I just went. As soon as I set foot on the campus there, Brother Borf came up, shook my hand, and he, you know, asked if he could do anything for me, and I asked if my family needed anything. And right then and there, God said, this is exactly where I want you. So God gave me a piece about it. And young people, as Zach said, it's good to give a year to God. Give God a year and give him a chance to do something with your life. Let him show you what he wants for you. Maybe he doesn't want you in the ministry, as it's called, full time. But we're all called to be full-time Christians, and a little Bible training never hurt anybody. And you know what? It may not be God's will for you to go to Golden State. And honestly, if it's not God's will, we don't want you there. Because we'd rather have you in the center of God's will than at our college, paying your tuition. That's not what it's about. Go wherever God has you to go, young people. But honestly, give him a chance, please. If you take your Bibles with me tonight and turn to Psalms chapter 37. I was saved at the age of 12. I had the wonderful opportunity of growing up in a pastor's home. I loved every second of it. I have three siblings, and we're all within 5 years. So, as soon as mom got us out of diapers, she had four handy dishwashers, and she never had to use a electric dishwasher again. It was all us by hand. So we had a wonderful time growing up. I loved having my siblings around. And you know what? The Christian home, like Zach said, it's something you can't restore that with anything else. It's priceless. Make sure that it is important to you. Because if it's not important, then you won't take care of it. If it's not important to you, you're going to let it slip away. Young kids, if you're in a Christian home, then you ought to be thankful for it. If you're not in a Christian home, you ought to desire it. One day for your own family, you ought to be looking for a Christian home. Your pastor here will set you a good example, and he'll show you which way to go. But I'm so thankful for my Christian heritage. My dad's a pastor up there in Londonderry. And I just loved growing up. Surrendered to preach when I was 16 years old at a basketball camp. I love basketball. So God worked on my heart, and I surrendered, and then just decided to go to Golden State. But there in Psalms 37, if you'd follow along as I read aloud, we won't be very long tonight, but I'm going to read verses 3 through 7. You just follow along. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please speak to us right now. pray that you'd please clear our minds and clear our hearts, Lord, of any sin or anything that's hindering you from speaking to us. Pray that you'd please help us to have tender hearts and that you would speak to us now, Lord, and convey your thoughts clearly, Lord. In your name, amen. I got to grow up in a Christian home, but I also got to go to a Christian school. Now, I know I'm from New Hampshire and everything, but I'm sure that the schools in New Hampshire are the same as the ones in Texas. And there were two subjects that everybody hated. Think of them in your mind, because you're probably thinking about the same ones I am, especially you teenagers over here. The first one that nobody liked was English. Everybody hated English. Why? Ton of homework, ton of reading, you know, ton of rules, and then there were all these exceptions to, like, every rule. It was horrible. I hated it. I hated English. And the second one that nobody liked in school was math. Nobody liked taking the math class, especially one, algebra. You say, why algebra? Well, because of formulas. I absolutely detested formulas. It was the worst thing in my life. You know, I got to algebra class, and somehow my teacher told me that X didn't equal X. It equaled another letter or it equaled another number. I thought it was crazy. Now, I found out that this guy, thousands of years ago, thought it would be fun to torture all the rest of kids for the rest of the world's existence. And he made up this story about how it didn't equal X. When I got to class and found that out, if that guy hadn't been dead already, I was going to kill him. I promise you, I was. But I hated the formulas. My teacher would slap down a piece of paper and say, I want you to learn the formulas, memorize them, and figure out how to work them out. And I would say, oh, great. And it seemed like 7 hours instead of the 1 hour that class was. But after I got done with that class, it was time for basketball practice. Now, I love basketball. I'm a Celtics fan, and I was cheering for the Mavs, so don't worry. I'm not a Heat lover. I promise you I was cheering for the Mavs. Dirk is one of my heroes. But I love basketball. So would get out there on the court. And one time I was down there, and I was practicing right after algebra class, clearing my mind, it seemed like. And my coach came up, and he said, now, Jake, you're big and you're tall. That's great. But you can't hit the broad side of a barn, son. So I want you shooting only if you're in with, like, you know, 2 or 3 feet. That's where I want you shooting. I said, okay. And he said, now I want to show you something. If you take the ball and you don't shoot it too hard or too soft and you hit this exact spot on the backboard, then each and every time you do that, it's going to go in. I said, oh, that's cool. That's good to know. That's real handy to know. And then he said these words and I just about died. He said, it's just like a formula. And I said, no, I just got out of algebra class and I'm not learning another one. But I learned something from it. I learned that formulas are a good thing. Why? Because formulas always equal out the right answer. If you work all the parts together right, you're going to get the right answer. You won't have a big red X on your homework paper. It's always going to come out the right way. Here in Psalms 37, I see a formula that God has given us for following Him. No matter where you are in your Christian life today, this formula, I guarantee, will help you. The first part of the formula is right there in verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord. You know, trusting means to put complete faith in. Have you ever been, or maybe you've seen, the new kid at school? Or the new kid on the team? Or maybe it's the new person on the job? And you see them come on, and at first, everybody else doesn't quite trust them. You know, because you aren't quite sure if they can handle that job. You aren't quite sure if they can handle the basketball, or the soccer ball, or the football the right way. You aren't sure until they prove themselves. You know, sometimes as Christians, that's how we treat Jesus. That's how we treat God. We say, God, I'll wait and see what you can do before I'm going to trust you. I'll wait and see what you can do with what I give you, and I'm going to hold some back and give you this part. And then if you do good with it, then I'll give you more. That's not what God wants from us, friend. I want to tell you that God wants you to trust Him completely. You can't half-heartedly trust God and live a full Christian life. Trust God. And when you trust God, you need to trust Him for some things. First of all, trust God for what He's done in the past. Aren't you happy that you're saved today? I mean, that's the most important thing. If you aren't saved today, you know what? You need to get that figured out first. You can't move on to the rest of the formula until you get that settled first. You won't come out to the right answer. One day in eternity, you'll say, I did all these parts right. Yeah, but you didn't have Christ. And that's the most important thing. But then, as Christians, why is it that sometimes we forget whose children we are? We forget that Jesus Christ died for us. Sometimes we just need to open up this precious old book and look back and read the story. I'll tell you what, if I'm having a tough day and I start thinking about the resurrection and I think about the empty tomb, I'll tell you what, it lifts my spirits right away. And it's a lot easier to go on. It's a lot easier to get through the day than if, you know what, I didn't think about it. Trust God for what He's done in the past. Also, Trust God for what He's doing right now. Do you realize that right now, if you're saved and you're submitting to God, whatever you're going through, God has a reason for it. God has a purpose for what you're going through. He has a plan. He knows what you need to go through. And we get so worried and so, you know, fretting about how's this going to work out right now. I'm in such a pickle. What's going on? God knows what you need. He knows why you're going through it. Young people, He knows what you're going through. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a trial. Maybe it's financial difficulties. Maybe you're going through good times. No matter which one it is, God has a reason for it. You know, somebody said once that you're either getting ready to go into trial, you're going through one, or you're just coming out of one. That's the way the cycle works in our lives, isn't it? No matter where you are, God has a reason for it. Trust Him for what He's done in the past. Trust Him for what He's doing right now. And then, trust Him for what He's gonna do. Think about, not only, first of all, young people, God has a plan for the life, for your life in the future. I don't know if you've given it to Him. I hope you have. I remember a point where I started saying, God, whatever You want for my life. It was before I'd surrendered to preach. He didn't call me to surrender to preach before, you know, before I'd surrendered to do whatever He wanted. I hope that you've surrendered to God and you're trusting Him for whatever He has for you in the future. But the good news is, it doesn't stop there, adults. See, God doesn't have an age limit where all of a sudden He cuts it off and says, I'm not going to have a plan for your future anymore. No, He always does. God has a plan for your future here on earth. He wants you to do something. He has a plan for you. But not just for here on earth. Think about heaven. I remember growing up, I loved surprises. Especially presents. Christmas time, you know, you get all of your presents together. And, you know, you start opening them up, hoping it's that exact thing you wanted. You know, it was that new toy. It was that Xbox. It was that whatever, that trolling motor. I don't know what else, you know, whatever random thing that you like. And sometimes you'd open it up, and that's exactly what it was. And you were excited. You loved it. And other times you'd open it up, and it was like, you know, a pair of socks from Grandma. And you're like, really, Grandma? Yeah, that's awesome. You know exactly what I need. That's just what I wanted, another pair of socks. And she said, yeah, your other ones had holes in them. I saw them the other day. And you say, oh, thanks. But I want to tell you something. Heaven's not going to be like that. I want to tell you, folks, that heaven is going to be a better surprise than you could ever imagine. You see, we don't understand the half of what heaven's got. Yeah. Now, I do know some things. I know that Jesus Christ will be there. And I want to tell you that the most important thing to me is going to be seeing my Savior face to face. Somebody who died for me, gave Himself, His whole life, His life for mine. And I'm going to get to talk to Him for as long as I want to. Now, that's amazing to me. But there's other things. There's streets of gold. There's riches. There's rewards. The Bible says, be ye not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Keep on going, folks. Trust God for what He has for you in the future, and it'll help you get through what you're going through today. Yeah. Trust Him. Second part of the formula is found right down there in verse 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight. Delight means taking complete satisfaction. I don't know what you delight in. You have your own hobbies, you know, antique collecting, fishing, hunting, whatever. Me, I'm a true Baptist, a very fundamental independent Baptist. And I delight in food. I honestly do. I think if there's a church and they don't have food in it somewhere, there's something wrong with it. They need to get right with God. And you know what? There's no food that I like better than a Reese's peanut butter cup. Now, I'm not talking about the little tiny ones, you know, the tinfoil ones that take you 20 seconds to unwrap and 2 seconds to eat. I'm not talking about the medium-sized ones. I'm talking about the big cup ones. I love those things to death. When we go to Walmarts, the guys chain me to the inside the van, to the seat, so that I can't go in and buy all the Reese's, because I will. I love them. They're my favorite thing to eat. I could eat them all the time. You know, spiritually, you ought to delight in not just a hobby, not whatever you want. You ought to delight in serving God. In Psalms chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it talks about how David's looked at these people and they were saying, God, bless us by giving us things. And give us the corn and the wine and the houses. Give us all these things that we need, God. And show us that You care about us by giving us these material things. And David found something out. He said, Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. See, David found out that joy didn't come from whatever you could get, whatever material things, even if God gave you the material things. No, the joy came directly from God. and from serving Him. I hope that today your delight isn't in some hobby. It's not in some recreational activity. It's not in some sport. It's not in some little thing that you do by yourself or you have a group of friends and you go do this favorite thing. I hope your delight comes from serving God. See, so often we separate what's God's things and what's our things. Over here we have everything that has to do with God. Church, passing out tracts, soul winning, you know, bus route, all these things, those are God's. And then there's my things. Going to amusement parks, having fun with my friends, fishing, boating, all these things. Those are mine. If you're walking in the Spirit, which is what God wants us to do as Christians, you'll find that, you know what? Delighting in serving God doesn't just happen on God's things. It happens in everything in your life. God wants to be a part not just of the things that have His name in it, but everything. Because you know what? God should be in every part of our lives. God should be in every single section, every single part, every single compartment of your whole entire life. See, it's like holding something back. Say, God, I'm not going to give you this one part. That's the exact part that the devil's going to use to get in your life. That's where he's going to get a foothold, and he's going to try to bring you down. He's going to bring you down, your family down, and eventually it'll bring down a church. Just because you didn't give him that one part and said, this is mine. How are you delighting? Is it delighting in serving God? Next part. Third part of the formula is found in verse 5. It says simply, commit thy way. Commit thy way. Committing means to give completely over. It means to totally surrender yourself to. Now, growing up in high school, I played two sports. I played soccer and I played basketball. Now, I'll just be honest with you. Our soccer team stunk. We were horrible. I mean, do I look like a white Pele to you? No. Okay? I was good for tripping people up, knocking them over, and that's about it. But I played for two reasons. First of all, my coach bribed me. And second of all, he said, we need a breathing body out there. And I said, okay, okay. But I played not just for that, but because basketball season was coming. And I wanted to get in shape. Now, it was hard for me to get up every day, go to soccer practice. Because I knew, number one, we were going to get tired and sore by the end of practice. Number two, the next day we're probably going to lose the game. And then coach was going to make us run more the practice after because we did so bad. That's how I was thinking. It was tough to get committed to the soccer team. But then basketball season came. Now, we were pretty good with basketball. For our Christian school league, I think the 4 years I was in high school, we won 3 state championships. It was fun. I had a blast. Me and my cousin played on the team. And you know what? We were good. We won lots of games. It was easy for me to go out to practice for basketball. It was easy for me to run and do whatever my coach told me to do. Why? Because I knew that no matter how much it hurt, no matter how much my muscles ached afterwards, it was just preparing me for a victory the next day, for the next game. You know, sometimes as Christians, we walk around and on our faces is a look like we're on my soccer team. We look like, you know what? This is a Christian life. The devil's already, you know, the world's going to pot, so why try? Why, you know, just walk around like a bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, doing their time thing, you know, so they can get it done. That's all it looks like. Why? Because you aren't committed. You don't realize that, you know what? God's already fought the victory for us, folks. All you have to do is live a good Christian life, solid and complete in God, making yourself more like Him each day. That's all it takes. That's all God wants of you. And you know what? You need to make sure that you're committed to it. Make sure that you're totally sold out on this Christian life thing. If you're not totally sold out, something will bring you down. That part that you're not sold out in, you don't believe in soul winning, why should I go soul winning? You know, if God wants them to get saved, they will get saved. That will bring you down. You say, I don't need to go to church all the time. I mean, once a week is enough. That will bring you down. Why? Because you're not totally committed. Totally committed means totally surrendered. It means totally signed up for. If you sign up for the Marines, I guarantee you, you are not going to say, I don't want to do this drill. I mean, I don't think I need it. No, that's not going to happen. They schedule you down to every like 2 seconds. I promise you, you're not going to get your own time. So how about you? Are you committed to God? Are you that committed to Christianity and to living for Jesus Christ? He gave his life for yours, like we sang. So are you giving your life back? Are you giving Him what He requires of you? It's not that much. A living sacrifice? That's, you know, the reasonable service. That's not even to an extent. That's what we owe Christ automatically. How are you committed? How committed are you to the cause of Christ today? Whether that's young people, whether that's adults. Last part is found down in verse 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Resting in the Lord. Growing up, I grew up in my dad was a pastor, so we would go to church Sunday morning, we'd finish, and then all, you know, the four kids and my mom and dad, we'd pile in the minivan, we'd go through the good old standby McDonald's, and we'd get, you know, the dollar cheeseburger for each of us, and then we'd head home. Dad would go to the study and start thinking, she'd start working on the sermon for the night, and mom, she'd say these words, she'd say, all right kids, time to go take a nap. And we'd say, mom, I don't want to go take a nap. I want to go read my book. I want to go play with my toys. I want to go do this or that. And she'd say, all right, here's the deal. Go lay on your bed for 10 minutes. And after the 10 minutes is over, then you can go and you can go play with your toys or whatever. And I was like, yes, I'm going to go sit on my bed. I'm going to take my clock, watch the minute hand move 10 times. I'm going to go play with my toys. That's what mom said I could do. You can probably guess what happened, though. By the third or fourth minute, I was dead asleep. I mean, you couldn't wake me up with anything, I promise you. I was conked out. I didn't realize I was tired. I didn't realize that, you know what, I needed to rest. But my parents knew. My mom and dad knew. Spiritually, there are times that God wants us to rest. God wants us to set ourselves apart so that we can grow. See, when you're resting, you're taking your body away from something, whether it's activity or mentally, just thinking, going through your mind, just you're taking time to rest. When you're resting spiritually, you're going to rest from, first of all, your friends. You say, hang on a second, all my friends are Christians. You know, they're all good people. That's good, but understand this. The relationship that you have with a friend, no matter how good they may be, no matter how godly, it is secondary to the relationship with your Lord. The relationship with your Lord comes first, all the time. Not just some of the time, all the time. We have all these devices now that can connect us with friends. We have TV, we have, you know, computer, we have cell phones. We have all these different things that connect us to other people. Sometimes we just need to shut everything off, get ourselves alone, and let God speak to us. Because we need to let God show us where we need to grow. You're not going to grow unless you take time to rest. Rest from your friends. Second of all, rest from your activities. We could jam-pack our schedule so full until from now till when Jesus comes back that, you know what, we would never have to take time to breathe, it seems like. Honestly, we could fill it up so much. And if we're not careful, we let ourselves get so jam-packed that we push God out of the agenda. We push out our relationship with God. I have to go to the doctor's appointment. Then we have this activity, the teen activity. And then, you know, mom, we have to go choir practice. We have all these different things. And if you're not careful, spiritually, you will start failing because we find ourselves being a Martha instead of a Mary. Martha was the one who was going about serving. She was going about saying, I need to do this. My friends are here. And I need to prepare, and that's an activity that has to be done. So I have to go around and get all this done. But Mary was taking time to sit at the Lord's feet. Which one are you? Are you going around saying, I have to get this done, activities, there's so many things on my schedule? Or are you letting God speak to you? Are you giving Him the time that He deserves? The last thing to rest from is your daily routine. Now, when I was a kid, I mean, we'd go to school by 8 o'clock. We'd get done. Maybe if we had practice, we'd go to that. Go home, you know, play outside for a little bit, do homework, eat supper, do more homework, and more homework, and more homework, and more homework, because my English and math teachers hated me, it seemed like. And by that time, it was time for bed. And if I wasn't careful, I would go day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, and I'd look back. And I couldn't remember the last time that I got something from my Bible reading. The last time that God had spoken to me. Why? I had become mechanical. I had gotten myself into a routine. I want to tell you folks that we have way too many mechanical Christians. Mechanical Christians, what are they? They're Christians that are in a rut. And you know what a rut is, right? A rut is simply a grave with two ends knocked out. That's all it is. And I'll tell you what, we have more Christians in that rut than we have in actual physical graves today. Because why? Because they are not resting from their daily routine. And it becomes mechanical. It just becomes things that we do automatically. You can even do it going to church. You can come into church, sit in your pew, sing the same old songs the same old way, not meaning them. You can walk out that door the same old way, and you haven't changed one bit. Why? Because you're mechanical. God doesn't want to speak to a mechanical Christian, folks. He wants to speak to a heart that's tender. How is your heart right now? Have you just been going through the motions? Teenagers, you can go through the motions. I don't care if it's teen soul winning. I don't care if it's, you know, a youth activity. I don't care if it's Sunday school. If it's school, if it's your Bible reading, you can read your Bible mechanically. Did you know that? You can just open it up, look at the verses, read the words, and you don't let God speak to you. You can do that. Adults, we can do the same exact thing. Are you doing it mechanically? You say, how do I keep from doing it mechanically? Well, it's very simple. All you do is ask God to make it fresh every day. You say, God, give me something new today that I didn't have yesterday. Lord, make me more like you today than I was yesterday. God, don't let it get stagnant. Don't let it get stale. Make it new, God. I hope that every morning you ask God to give you something new. And you don't leave your Bible. You don't leave your bedside, whether it's young people, whether it's adults, whether it's elders in here. You don't leave your bedside until you've gotten something from God and you've gotten a hold of what God has for you. Make sure that it's not mechanical. Resting is the combination of the first three things. If you're trusting and you're committing and you're delighting in the Lord, you will find yourself taking the necessary time to rest. And you'll be saying, all right, Lord, I think I need to take time now. I'm getting too busy and too focused on the wrong things. I need to just spend time with you. You'll do it. You'll take the necessary time. That's the formula right there. Four simple steps. Trust, delight, commit, and rest. But how do you actually work the formula? How do you get it done so that you have the right answer? It's like anything else we do in our lives, folks. All it takes to get something done, to actually get the move on, to actually finish something, is the decision to do it. The decision to do it combined with the follow through. That's why we have altars here. See, because you have to make a decision. We have a saying in New England where I'm from. New Englanders don't like change. And it's true. They like their coffee the way they like it, and they don't want to change it. They like their cashier to give them the coffee, and you know what? They don't want the cashier to change. Now, I've seen them walk out of the store, the Dunkin' Donuts store, just because it was a different cashier. Or if it was a different, you know, it was a different worker, employee right there. But you know what? It's kind of ironic because I figured out, if we don't change as Christians, we're never going to be like Christ. Because we aren't born like Christ. We have to become like Him. Teenagers, you better start now. You better get a head start because you know what? You want to be as close to Christ and as much like Him when you die as possible. And you have no idea when you're going to die, so you better start. You better start now. Adults, it's never too late to start. It's never too late to say, God, help me start becoming more like you now. That's the formula. All you have to do is decide to do it. Decide to follow through. If we could have every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to pray and then pastor's going to come and close as he sees fit. Our Heavenly Father, today I pray that you please just work on our hearts, God. I pray that you would please just show us exactly what we need to change in our lives, Lord. Whatever part of this formula, maybe we aren't, if somebody's here is not saved, Lord, I pray that you'd work on their hearts and they would come to know you. For the rest of us, Lord, I pray that you just help us to work on this. To Lord, maybe we're struggling in a certain area of delighting in serving you or committing something. I pray that you please just help us now. Help us to listen to you as you speak to us in your name.